Are there persons here this morning that were not with us yesterday evening? A few? You really missed out. How many feel that the kirtan last night was like out of this world? Harivo! Hopefully they will make this an annual pilgrimage and join us and we can experience kirtan like that. So we, little summary for those of you that weren't with us, and also refresher for those of you that were. Friday evening, there was my part of this weekend together, was giving an explanation of the principle of compassion, the principle of compassion. And then Vaishnava compassion, specifically. And it's going to connect with something this morning. The compassion of a Vaishnava is but a speck or a drop or a little particle of Krishna's compassion, Lord Chaitanya's compassion. So then we discussed compassionate speech. And then we discussed the compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and now not specifically the compassion of Krishna, though it could be titled that, how to become dear to Krishna. So as we've done with Vaishnavas, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will do also with Krishna, offer obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead with our standard prayer to Krishna. We chant together, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So all you have to do is be a cow or a brahmana, and you'll be dear to Krishna. What if you're not a cow or a brahmana? Well, you can just be a living entity. You can be part of this world, because those who are living entities and those who are part of this world, they're dear to Krishna too. So we're all eligible. Here's the translation. My Lord, you are the well-wisher of the cows and the brahmanas, and you are the well-wisher of the entire human society and all the trees in Giranagari too, and the peacocks in Giranagari and the insects in Giranagari and the non-human living entities in Giranagari and anywhere in the world. Just be a spirit soul, and we're eligible for being dear to Krishna and a recipient of Krishna's mercy, Krishna's compassion. And it makes sense. According to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the seed-giving father of all living entities. And as a loving father, he loves all living entities. Now, he has special appreciation for cows and brahmanas, those that have read the first canto Bhagavatam know that there's five categories, it's nectar devotion also, that are to be protected and are very dear to Krishna. So the cows and the brahmanas are top of the list of five, but children, women, and the elderly, they're to be given, in Vedic culture, special consideration. I'm elderly, by the way, so be kind to me, please. and but the cows and the brahmanas. So this very nice story about one brahmana amongst so many brahmanas who, as he became elderly, he was a Vishnu bhakta, and he worshipped the deity of Lord Vishnu. But as he got elderly, it was difficult for him to go gather all the ingredients for his worship. So you know what he did? He just sat in meditation, detailed description of this wonderful pastime, pastime in the sense it's an exchange with the personality of Godhead, Vishnu. He meticulously went and gathered the best ingredients for cooking and for puja, and there's a sequence in which he was able to do when he was younger, but now older, it's difficult just to get around. So he did it all in Manasa Puja. You're not authorized. Although the Supreme Lord is in his deity form and in different elements of the deity form, but also in the mind. So there is such a thing. But if you have the capacity to move around and even simple ingredients, you do that. But he was not able. So he did his puja in his mind. And then he would prepare the offerings in his mind. And one fine day, he wanted to see if the sweet rice was done. So he stuck his finger into the pot of the sweet rice, and his finger burned. And his meditation broke. And astonished, he looked at his finger, and sure enough, his finger was burned. But see, up here, that's Lord Vishnu, because he was accepting the offerings of love and the cooked offerings. Even it was done within the mind, all the worship of the deity and the offerings and the cooking, and such is the power of a brahmana. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur teaches us that amongst the brahmanas, the perfect stage of a brahmana is a Vaishnava. And we're somehow or another, well, the somehow or another is the mercy of our disciplic succession, led in our case by our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, by mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his associates, we're engaged in devotional service. And that means we're on the path of becoming Vaishnava, and a Vaishnava is the topmost position, the most dear to Krishna. That's our becoming dear to Krishna topic. And the way of devotional service is very simple. Engage your senses in the service of the master of the senses. Very simple. The non-Krishna conscious position is engage your senses in the service of your senses. Just Rishikesh disappears. And the mood of being the servant of Rishikesh disappears, or Krishna disappears. That's material life. And spiritual life is very simple. You, same activity, just like, you know, cooking. Everyone eats. Some people like raw food, but still you're eating. And so the very simple principle is you make offerings to the personality of Godhead with your senses. So I want a little correction. The other day you saw this image, it's Rupa Goswami, and certainly he taught about devotional service, nectar devotion or bhakti rasamrita sindhu. And one of the verses I misquoted, I thought about it even as I was saying it, but this is a correction. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nambhaved grayam indriyai sevan mukhihi jiva dal swayameva sparatyada. That is, the senses can be more easily controlled if we control this one sense of tongue. So we spoke about compassionate speech, and now there's compassionate eating. And that is, be compassionate to yourself. Take Krishna prasadam. Only. And it's not just like, oh, that's too difficult. It's a big problem if you don't. Here's the big problem if you don't. According to Bhagavad Gita, the devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Chapter 3, Bhagavad Gita. And the other side is those that don't, problema. So which is the bigger problem? Eating sin, because it's a problem to make an offering to Krishna, or make an offering to Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. And you do that, you become dear to Krishna, and your existence becomes sanctified and released from sins. And it's a surefire way to attract people to Krishna too. Like, so many questions about, you know, how do you deal with this group of people and that group of people because they're, you know, inimical or a tough audience or in the workplace, da-da-da-da. Surefire, Krishna prasadam. And that's the doorway to freeing them from sin and becoming attracted to Krishna, at least in the form of prasadam. And then, you know, the door is open for other features of Krishna. Maybe it's just like, you know, can you share with me that recipe? How'd you make it? And then it just opens it, depending upon the person and the circumstance, you can go down the path of something more than just a recipe. Depends. Those that do prasadam distribution, looking at Damodar Priya, she's very fond of prasadam distribution, and others, I'm sure, here. It opens doors, opens hearts and minds, and helps people become Vaishnavas and thus dear to Krishna. Very simple. And then other and other and other. There was a period of time in New York when I was skipping the details. Well, I'll give one detail. One detail was I had this inspiration. I wanted to have a festival in Central Park. So I went early, you know, January 2nd, to go to the Parks Department and ask for a permit in Central Park. And they were really tough about, you know, you can't go here and you can't go there. But I got a permit where they would allow. And then lo and behold, because the Taste of Chicago was so successful, somebody approached for a Taste of New York. But there was a problem. The area they wanted was where our permit was. So they approached us and said, we'll make a deal. The Parks Department will give you another date for your festival in the same area, and in exchange, we'll let you have a free booth at our Taste of New York. It was an easy decision. And I forget what the number was, but it was a big number, especially for those days. Something $10,000, $12,000 sales of prasadam at the Taste of Chicago, Taste of New York. And then other things happened without all the detail. The Lincoln, the Philharmonic, some place they had some thing. And food fair, something. And so we had a spot, and it was another, like, big number. So Prabhupada said, you'll conquer New York through prasadam distribution. There was other things. There was started the street carts Prahlada Priya. This is just like, you know, anecdotal things. Prabhupada said it twice. Prasadam distribution, you'll conquer New York. Then another time, kirtan, you'll conquer New York. So it's a good combination. Can you think of a better combination? Book distribution, maybe. But, you know, that leads to book distribution. Both. And deity worship and association and serving the devotees. So I want to read a few verses related to becoming dear to Krishna from Bhagavad Gita. Start with chapter 9, text 29. Now, a famous verse that's like a little confusing. If you don't have a spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada and or someone representing him, Krishna says, Samaham sarva bhuteshu name dveshosti na priyaha. Ye bhajanti tamam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone, I am equal to all. Period. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend as in me, and I am also a friend to him. You want to become dear to Krishna? Take prasadam. Join kirtans like we had last night. Or how even simple, just in your home. And read Bhagavad Gita and become a devotee. Do what Rupa Goswami teaches, how to become a devotee by contact with devotees and become dear to Krishna. Although he's equal to everyone. He's not partial to anyone. But he's partial to the devotee. It's a contradiction, right? Here's what our acharyas say about that one. Listen carefully. Eligibility to become a devotee is equal to everyone. Because Krishna is a seed-giving father of all living entities. In his Paramatma future, he's neutral. In his Bhagavan feature, he's partial. Pretty cool, huh? Just need to be an acharya, you get the answer to that one. Or read what they say, and then understand the message. Become dear to Krishna by accepting the Bhagavan feature of the Supreme Lord. They're both features of the Supreme Lord. But engage in devotional services to the Bhagavan feature. Now we're going to go also to chapter 12. The title of chapter 12, it's the last part of the middle section of Bhagavad Gita. 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals 18. There's 18 chapters in Bhagavad Gita. The last part of the middle section is chapter 12. And it's called devotional service. Bhakti Yoga. And towards the end, Arjuna wants to know from Krishna, please tell me definitively, which is better, worship of your impersonal or your personal feature? Very direct question. Worship my personal feature is better. Very direct answer, and he gives why. And then describes the stages of those who practice devotional service, who, if you can't do this, do that, if you can't do that, do the other thing. But above all, be a devotee. Same as what he said at the end of chapter 6, and he's reiterating. Oops. Okay. So, when you become a devotee, please become a devotee. And when you become a devotee, you become dear to Krishna. And then there's, when you come before Krishna, a devotee wants to come before Krishna and Krishna smiles. Yes? Pleasing Krishna is everything. So what's pleasing to Krishna? What features of a devotee are pleasing to Krishna? If you can somehow, by Krishna's mercy, acquire these qualities, you'll become especially dear to him. Listen, Krishna explains. One who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities, we heard about that one several times, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal both in happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed in me. That's the same message as earlier in this chapter 12. Mind and intelligence fixed in me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Text 15. He by whom no one is put into difficulty. Right? Compassion. Compassionate speech. And who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. My devotee, who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. And not striving for some, you have to have goals. It's like, not, this isn't impersonalism. But result that's apart from my purpose of pleasing Krishna. That kind. One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy. That's chapter 2, right? Who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge, and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. And then the final one is has two varies. Very, very dear. Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. That's the end of the chapter. Here. So why are we interested in becoming dear to Krishna? Well, he's very compassionate. And we want to become the recipient of that compassion. And then the conduit or the instrument of Krishna's compassion. So from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we know as nectar devotion, there's this lengthy description, we heard this before, of Krishna's qualities, 64, and later in that nectar devotion comes these qualities of Krishna, by meditating upon them or coming in contact with them, they're stimulations for ecstatic love. So get stimulated, everybody, towards ecstatic love. And one of those qualities is compassion. So this is straight translation from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Very same language Prabhupada used. We saw this earlier. A person who cannot tolerate the suffering of others is called compassionate. And Rupa Goswami gives a really wonderful example. He's quoting Grandfather Bhishma. This is what Grandfather Bhishma says. As he's dying, his meditation is upon Krishna. I offer my respects to the compassionate son of the Yadus. By the way, that's Krishna. He's referring to Krishna. Who, like the sun, made all the king's eyes blossom with joy these kings had blinded themselves with tears arising from the impenetrable darkness of suffering caused by being imprisoned by Jarasandha or Magadendra. There's a whole chapter describing Krishna's battle to free the king, because the kings were praying to Krishna, crying, so much suffering, because Jarasandha was a bully, worse than a bully. And he just conquered kings, but put them in prison. And he had a whole accumulation of kings, just like the princesses that were similarly captured and imprisoned. So, hearing their prayers, Krishna came, Balaram was with him, big battle, Jarasandha was defeated, the kings were released. And Jiva Goswami's commentary says, this quote is Grandfather Bhishma when he was dying. So it's Krishna's emphasis is, this is Krishna's compassionate nature. Like the sun, those whose eyes had become closed with the darkness of their tears and distress at being treated so badly by Jarasandha, Krishna came. Like the sun. And their tears dried, their happiness restored. The commentary says, Krishna, you can see from the painting, Krishna's crying. He loves Grandfather Bhishma. And seeing Grandfather Bhishma in this condition, Krishna was crying. Now, how could it happen that Grandfather Bhishma was in that condition without Krishna's sanction? Answer, it can't happen without Krishna's sanction. So how did it happen then? Why did Krishna sanction? And there's different reasons. They're Krishna's reasons. One of them, Prabhupada explains, Krishna wanted to teach a lesson. Even if you're Grandfather Bhishma, if you don't protect women, finished. These five. Children must be protected. There was this announcement at the beginning. I don't know if everyone heard it or followed it. There's a policy at all of our centers, including Gita Nagari, that children are not to be left alone. There must be parental guidance. It's protection. It's not like policing the parents. It's protection of the children. And it's a policy. It's a good reason for it. Children are to be protected, and we should follow the policy that's protection oriented, and etc. So Krishna wanted to, there's other reasons without going through them, but Krishna had such affection for Grandfather Bhishma. Even Grandfather Bhishma tried to kill his dearmost friend, Arjuna, dearmost friend, took a vow, I'll kill your friend. Dearmost friend. Unless you break your vow. Knowing that Krishna would break his vow to protect his devotee, because more important than his vow is protecting the devotee, his dear friend Arjuna, because he's dear to Krishna. And we're not Arjuna. We're not that dear to Krishna. But become devotees, become sincere devotees, and take full shelter of Krishna, and he'll give us protection above everything else. So here he is crying, seeing Bhishma in this condition. There's this nice, similar explanation, same image here. This is, some of you are familiar of the section of Mahabharata called Vishnu Sahasranam, 1,000 names of Vishnu. And one of those names is Vasu Mana. Vasu mana is explained this way by Baladeva Vidyabhusan. Baladeva Vidyabhusan made a commentary on the 1,000 names of Vishnu. And his explanation is as follows. One time, Krishna was visiting Hastinapur, and while he was in Hastinapur, every morning, Yudhisthira Maharaj would come first thing and offer his respects to Krishna. Well, he'd brush his teeth and take a bath. Then he'd go pay his respects to Krishna. But one morning, Krishna was in meditation. So he didn't interrupt Krishna's meditation. And Krishna's meditation took a long time. So he was very patient, respecting Krishna's meditation. Finally, the meditation was over, and then he went and paid his respects to Krishna, and then asked Krishna a question. May I ask, what was it that you were meditating upon? Because you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You don't need to meditate on anything. Could you explain? And Krishna said, greatly afflicted and lying on the bed of arrows, Bhishma Dev remembered me at the last stage of his life. Because of his remembrance of me, O best of men, I now always remember him. And that's the meaning of vasu, mana. Mana refers to the mind, and vasu refers to Bhishma, who before he was Bhishma was one of the vasus. And then he descended as Bhishma. Vasu mana. How to become dear to Krishna? Remember Krishna. And by the way, don't ever forget Krishna. We had this whole, festival centered around with Dravida Prabhu. That was really nice. And always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Smartavya satatam Vishnur, vismartavya najatu chit. Prabhupada has given us everything. Receive it. Open your heart. That's the first step. And then receive it. And when you receive it, you have everything. And feel gratitude for the everything gift that you've received. And when gratitude begins, that's the seed of love. And everything follows. Everything that is intended to be given is that we heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Prabhupada is representing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his disciplic succession representative. He's giving devotional service in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan to anybody. We saw dogs. Forest animals. Anybody. Just be a spirit soul. We all qualify. The eligibility isn't how much piety you have, where you've taken your birth, what family. No material consideration. Just take it. You just say yes. Say yes to Krishna. Remember that one? Those of you who have been here twice, say yes to Krishna was the theme. It's a nice theme. Perfection was achieved by Prahlad Maharaj by always remembering Krishna. Always remember Lord Vishnu, because that was the mood that he had imbibed from Narada Muni. Not that Narada Muni doesn't know Krishna-Vishnu distinction, but he became Vishnu Bhakta. And he became very dear to Lord Nrisimhadev. I really like this painting. They're staring each other in the eye. Such affection that Lord Nrisimhadev had for Prahlad. And such affection that Prahlad had for Lord Nrisimhadev. No problem to always remember those who you have affection for. The problem is we have affection for the temporary. And it's just connect that temporary to Krishna, that's all. Just, that's bhakti. Everything is from Krishna. So direct that affection to Krishna. That's all. You know. And you become dear to Krishna. There's Durvasa Muni, who was having a problem because he had offended a great devotee, Maharaj Ambarish. And he was in such difficulty that the Lord Sudarsan Chakra was chasing him. And I don't know how, why it didn't happen that Sudarsan Chakra is faster than Durvasa Muni, but he got a little mercy. He went all the way to Lord Vishnu's abode and fell before Lord Vishnu and said, "Help! I offended your great devotee, and because I didn't understand his greatness, and I'm really sorry, and please forgive me, and by the way, can you take away the Sudarsan Chakra? It's too much. Too hot. I'm finished." And what did Lord Vishnu say? Sadavo hridayam mayam sadhu nam hridayam tvaham, which means the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. That's what it means. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. How dear can you get? Become a devotee. And as you become a devotee, the focus goes to pleasing Krishna. And pleasing Krishna without limit. And that's the residence of Vrindavan. That's the speciality of the residence. Not that others are less than pure devotees, the residents of Vaikuntha and the whole of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Sanatan Goswami makes it very clear. All of these persons that Narada went to visit, they're pure. And perfect, more perfect, most perfect. The superlative is the residence of Vrindavan. That's the gift that we're being given. And the process is so simple. Prasadam. Chanting. Devotee association. Deity worship. Radha Damodar. So merciful. I don't know if any of you have been praying to Radha Damodar, but if you haven't, please do. Because they're very merciful. Open your heart, offer prayers, and you'll feel something. And if you don't feel something, something's going in. The impression is there. Very merciful. Guaranteed. Promise. Jiva Goswami makes this. This is one of my favorites from our japa retreats. But when the word Krishna is uttered in a mantra, the very moment the first syllable is vibrated, this sound attracts the attention of Lord Krishna himself. You there? Just say Krish. Don't stop. Keep saying Krishna. But he's attracted. He's full in himself. Doesn't need anything. And supposing you're not a very advanced devotee, just chant. And Krishna's attracted. Because there's submission to our great acharyas that are teaching us the way of devotional service. And it begins with hearing and chanting. Do that. With faith. And do it again and again. Very simple. Winding up. This is a little reference from Brihat Bhagavatamrita, where Gopakumar is telling his life story to a brahmana, and long story made short, he gets a mantra, Gopal mantra, Madan Gopal mantra. And by the way, anyone who has Brahminical initiation in ISKCON gets the same mantra. We have the same opportunity as Gopakumar. But he chanted that mantra with such faith in his spiritual master, who didn't even know his name. He didn't know so many things. But he had faith that this mantra will bestow all desirable things. But his desire was to be with and be in the service of and see with his heart of hearts Gopal, Madan Gopal. And so it happened, because that was his sincere desire. So there's a price, and you desire that. And it takes a while to get that. It's that, you know, in laser focus. But that's the process of bhakti. Take shelter, exclusive shelter of the personality of Godhead, and everything is there. Everything is there. We can't go on speaking about becoming dear to Krishna without speaking of Srimati Radharani. And this is again Rupa Goswami describing the compassionate nature of Krishna is manifest in perfection, in fullness in Srimati Radharani. The compassionate protectress of devotional service and all devotees who want to approach Krishna. That's Radharani. We're engaged in devotional service by Radharani's mercy and not otherwise. And there's a conclusion that the merciful nature of Radharani, one of the descriptions, is found in a story from Vrindavan. There was a situation in Vrindavan, not far from Varsana, where there were some little boys, and they found a jackal. Now, a jackal isn't a very respectable animal, in Vedic culture. Like, you know, Hito Pradesh, the jackal that fell into a bucket of paint. You know that one? So jackals are like down there. So they saw a jackal, and they were throwing stones at the jackal and taunting the jackal, and he was howling. And they were chasing him, and he ran, and he found a hole, and he jumped in the hole. And then they built a fire around the hole and were taunting him, just getting to get him to come out of the hole so they could throw rocks at him again and yell at him and making all this ruckus. And the jackal was howling and howling, crying. Radharani heard some distance away. And she asked Lalita. Lalita's on the altar here. She asked Lalita, go find out what's going on. And Lalita went, and Lalita saw, and there's a jackal, by the way. And Lalita chased the boys away, went straight to where the jackal was, invited the jackal to come out of the hole, and brought the jackal to Radharani. And what did Radharani say? Radharani said, this is Vrindavan, and nobody in Vrindavan is treated like this. So I give you this benediction. You become one of my eternal associates. You become one of the gopis, and you can take part in my pastimes. Radharani. Radharani is none different than Krishna. That's the pleasure potency of Krishna. The compassionate nature of Krishna is manifest through Radharani. And we're recipients of that. And we're meant to receive it and distribute it. And who knows? one day become one of Radharani's associates in the spiritual world. By her mercy, it's entirely in her hand, her power to do so. You don't have to be a jackal and with a fire built around you. Just be a recipient of Radharani's mercy. And here we have Radha Damodar, as mentioned at the very beginning, most merciful. Radha Damodar. There they are. And last image here is Julan Yatra. This is Gita Nagari, so they don't just have the Julan in the temple room. They take the swing out over here in the park. And the swing goes in a tree, and Radha and Damodar go for a swing. So next time it's Julan Yatra, you know where to go, right? Come to Gita Nagari and take part in the Julan Yatra of Sri Sri Radha Damodar and become dear to Krishna. The embodiment of compassion, karuna, who cannot bear to see the sufferings of others, and we're suffering. We're suffering because of ignorance. We've ignored Krishna, that ignorance. Not just we didn't get enough education, we don't have therefore enough money to get a good job and we have this. Not that kind. Forgetfulness of Krishna that's the primordial ignorance. Become dear to Krishna. Receive his compassion and be an instrument of his compassion. So we'll end this morning class and see if there's some comments or questions. How are we doing with the microphone? Okay, ready. I thought it's way back.
Hare Krishna. Wondering if you can share some tips or advice how to approach deities in a more personal way. You said that Radha Damodar are very merciful. Sometimes it's not easy to tap into that so much.
Well, you can start with faith. In the hearing process, we hear that the deity form is non-different. The problem is we don't hear with faith because we're accustomed to seeing things in material ways, just like the name or the scripture we see in a material way. So we don't get the fullness of the name or the fullness of the scripture or the fullness of the deity or the fullness of the devotee association or the fullness of the Dham because we see with material vision. We have material conceptions. We're, you know, covered. So how to approach in a more personal way is cleansing needs to take place. So strengthened, especially in the process of hearing and chanting, it will help the personalism in deity worship because Shravanam Kirtanam precedes. And the quality of our hearing and chanting, go there and see the name as a person. Etc. What I just said is the main focus of this upcoming festival, the Festival of the Holy Name. That's going to be a theme. How to chant where the mood is being the servant of the name. And to do that, you have to understand the name as a person, so it's two things in one. And you do that, and it's going to help the personalism in your approach of the deity. But Radha Damodar or Kishore Kishori, the deity is very merciful, and you approach in that mood with faith, and you'll see something, feel something. A little sharing, and I asked Hemangi permission to share this, so she gave me the okay. One Janmashtami, you know, the president of a center on Janmashtami is, you know, has 10 arms and has to do so many things. But so part of what she wanted to do was do deity service, and it was a Janmashtami, a hot Janmashtami, very, very hot and humid. And she was fasting, and she was exhausted. But she wanted to do the worship of the deity, not in a hurried manner or a, you know, stressed manner, but in a loving manner. And because she approached in that way, the deity showed some mercy. Some very special mercy. She took the clothes off the deity for the evening outfit, and the deity, the clothing was damp, like perspiration, damp. She couldn't believe it. She took it to some of the other pujaris, you know, feel this. You know, is it damp? Or is it by imagination? Now, the deity doesn't perspire, but the deity perspires. Because the deity is a person. That made a very deep impression. Ask her about it when you get back. Now, how Krishna will reciprocate with your effort or any of our efforts to approach in a personal way, that's up to him, because he's a person, fully independent person. And it may not be something visual or tactile, but something. Because you approach in that mood and with faith, and there's reciprocation on some level or another. And even if somebody else had that experience, that perhaps can just like go, wow, the deity's a person. Our great acharyas, why would they bother if the deity is not spiritual, all spiritual? They're not going to waste their time. But they all engage in deity worship. Maybe to set an example, but also with their own time, energy, and affection. Okay, so enough on that one. Start with the quality of your hearing and chanting. Yes, way in the back.
Hare Krishna. My question is about one of the names of Vishnu Sahasranama that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Vasumana. So, if I'm not mistaken, the Vishnu Sahasranama was chanted by Sri Bhishma Deva himself.
Yes.
But then how do we understand that?
Why not? Lord Brahma speaks Brahma Samhita. He speaks about Brahma. It's one of the names. Why would Bhishma not appreciate the name of Krishna, that Krishna is thinking of him? Why not? Over here? Over here. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Very nice class. Thank you. So my question is, you said that Krishna in Brahman feature in Paramatma feature is neutral, in Bhagwan feature is partial.
That's what our acharyas say. I'm just repeating them.
That's what I heard. So,
yes.
So is it because my surrender is partial, so Krishna says like, ye yatha mam prapadyante, like as you surrender, or to the degree you surrender,
yes,
I will reciprocate.
Yes, That's correct. Brilliant.
No. Okay. Thank you for affirmation.
There's another because. There's another because that I mentioned, and I'll say it again. According to our acharyas, the Paramatma feature is neutral in the sense that everyone is eligible for bhakti. He's also neutral in other ways. You know, Prabhupada's example. A judge may award millions of dollars to some person, another person the death penalty. And he's neutral. So Paramatma oversees prakriti and he's neutral. For those that are, you know, interested in prakriti, with minus Krishna. He's neutral. Na me dvesho sti na priyaha. But he's encouraging bhakti, the high court judge. Please become Krishna's devotee. And those that get, I want to do that. Then another feature is exhibited, the Bhagavan feature, the intimate exchange of love. So, yes. Okay. Over here. Looks like we're going to end early this morning. That's good.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, in the, where you mentioned in the Namo Brahmanya Devaya verse, where there are person, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana.
Okay.
So the Go and Brahmana are very dear to Krishna.
Yeah.
So is that the Brahmana means the, is the Brahmana by birth or by the Brahmana by the qualification?
Oh, come on. One who's a genuine Brahmana, whether it's birth or otherwise. So there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
You mentioned about Bhishma Dev being one of the greatest devotees and him after violation of woman protection he was punished. So you mentioned about five do's. I have two questions. One is why? What are those five do's? And this.
I said five categories of persons who are to be always protected.
Oh yeah.
That was the five.
Okay.
The cows and brahmanas especially. Doesn't mean women or children or elderly are, you know, second class. So those are special. Cow and brahmana.
Okay. Cow, brahmana, elderly, women and children.
Yes.
Okay. And, So, it depends upon, one's capacity in the situation.
Yes.
If he can help or,
Yes. 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 Okay. We're going to end early. Oh, there's a question way back.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You said deities are merciful if we pray, they'll reciprocate. But if we are praying to Krishna, then every deities, wherever you go,
yes,
they reciprocate, right?
Yes.
So,
and their special relationships.
Yeah.
That's also.
And it has happened with me for 6 months. Krishna is so playful. For 6 months, he reciprocated. And I, you know, anywhere I went, any temple I went, he reciprocated. And it was funny, the way he was reciprocating is, whatever color I'm wearing, that color would be the outfit. So I got so confident that I went to Toronto temple and I was wearing baby pink color, and before I got ready, I told my mother-in-law that we are going to the temple and see, this is the color of the deity's dress today. And we went, and sure it is. It was that color.
The sense old, of humor, huh?
Yeah, and I'm just sharing it because I want people to believe in that because it's so real. Only one time it was very disappointing that I went to the temple. I'm talking about only those 6 months. It was Janmashtami and I'm wearing very nice green color and here they were wearing blue and I said, what happened today? And the pujari actually knew about this in our temple and she was laughing and then I said, today I don't know what happened, Krishna is not, he's a little upset about something. So, and then we had a night arati, and here he was in that green color. So, I'm just saying that it's good to, associate, look at the deities and pray to the deities, and that's a way to connect to Krishna. But if you are praying to Krishna, it's amazing, that experience that I cannot forget. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
I kind of had to pry it out of one devotee. I won't say where, because that devotee is from one of the temples that there's devotees here. They do home deity worship like at a temple standard. So I asked, do you mind sharing? What's your experience? What's your relationship with your deity like? And the wife looked at her husband. He gave the nod, it's okay, you can share it. And one of her explanations was, from time to time, very clearly, the offering is missing. After making the offering, it's gone. Reciprocation, yeah. I said, so, and it's not like on this day or I do these things or I make these particular offerings and he eats it or something. So it's not that other days he doesn't eat. Just like this, the Brahmana that was doing his Manasa Puja. Every day we make the offering and he accepts. And prasadam is left. That's Prabhupada's explanation. He eats and he leaves behind the offering for our purification. And it's not imagination, it's not, cute or something, exaggeration. It's love. And devotees that do regular, sincere, not mechanical kind, but the sincere worship of the deity in your home or at the temple or combination. There's feelings. Same as, look at these devotees last night. They're tasting something. And besides, the sharing of how they interact with one another doesn't matter who's leading. They have such love for the holy name. Guess what? The holy name has love for them. And they're experiencing something, not just the musicality, but they're experiencing something. So same, whether it's the name, the Vaishnavas, the deity, the scripture. Someone shared with me yesterday, some time ago I had encouraged them, read Srimad Bhagavatam every day, not just because you read every day and you punch the clock, but where you're developing a relationship with Krishna in Krishna's form of Srimad Bhagavatam, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. And they heard the instruction, they cultivated that instruction, and sure enough, they're feeling some attachment to the person in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Our philosophy isn't imagination, it's a bhakti process. He who is transcendental. I'm going to end. Transcendental. I like always wondered, what does that mean? Emerson and Thoreau, they're transcendental poets. It's a nifty word, but what does it really mean? It's that which is beyond our gaze of sense perception and even the mind. That beyond material existence realm is the transcendental realm. And we have connection with the transcendental realm through the name, through scripture, through the deity, through association of devotees, through the holy dham, because the devotees, that was our, you know, second class, was Vaishnava compassion. And how, why respect the Vaishnavas? Because they're connected to transcendence. They may not be a perfected person. Finding such a person is very, 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 very rare. It's the bhava stage is very rarely achieved. So sadhakas, that's us. They're special. They're in contact with transcendence by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. They're engaged in devotional service. That's so. Now back to Dear Krishna Maharaj's presentation, a major part of what I understand my function is to assist and support receiving this fantastic important message that he's come to deliver in awakening our empathic nature in relation to Krishna and service to Krishna's devotees. This will help us connect with transcendence in the association of devotees. Such a valuable message. So I hope you're not only appreciating the message, in addition that you practice it, take it with you and apply it in your home. That's a good place to start. And then expand the circle. Charity begins at home, and then you go, you know, the close circle of people you work with, interact with a lot, to minimize the familiarity breeds contempt kind of thing. And, you know, make the world a better place, because you become a better person by receiving this connection with transcendence, you know, minus the obstructions that come. Okay, so I was asked to make